Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes, around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." So far the reading of God's Word. It's interesting how even in glory, the 24 elders, the patriarchs and the apostles who lead the congregation of the saints, the perfected saints in glory, they take their cue from the four living creatures here with the six wings. And whenever the living creatures ascribe, give glory and honor and thanks, verse 9 says, and it describes the glory and honor and thanks that they give in verse 8, then the 24 elders take their cues from that. It's very similar to the Old Testament passage in which we first hear this, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh God of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory," is how it's finished in Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah takes his cue from the seraphim. In fact, he realizes that he has not used his lips as he should, and their perfect and holy and clean use of their lips. To that, Isaiah responds, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." Well, we come this evening and will come on Lord's Day morning to take our cue from both the four living creatures and the 24 elders here in Revelation chapter 4. And what we'll find is that taking our cue from them results in our praying the same way as taking our cue from our Lord, whose disciples, when they heard Him praying, of course they had prayed before, but they heard Him praying. What did they realize? Something similar to what Isaiah realized listening to the seraphim, that they had never prayed like they should. And so they hear the Lord Jesus praying, and they ask Him, "Teach us to pray." And He gives them a form of prayer. And so it's not surprising for us this evening that the form of prayer that the Lord Jesus gives overlaps in its first three great petitions with what we see from the four living creatures and from the 24 elders here. Lord Jesus gives the first petition, "Hallowed be Thy name." And the four living creatures say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray in the second petition, "Thy kingdom come." And here the 24 elders say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thy kingdom come." The Lord Jesus teaches us in the third petition to pray, "Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And the 24 elders pray, "For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." So in the first place, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Man's chief end is to glorify God. And the first part of our Lord's model prayer, and the first part of prayer that we see here in Revelation chapter 4, is to hallow the name of God. Seeing how the holy angels address the Lord reminds us of our own purpose for existence. Remember when Isaiah had that experience in Isaiah 6 and how he was intensely convicted about the cleanness of his lips. We may have the same experience here with regard to our prayers. We see them and hear them praying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And whereas our prayers a moment ago seem much better than they do now, we realize that we have not been ascribing to God His holiness in prayer as much as we ought. Often we come and we offer Him a few words of thanksgiving for recent mercies or something in connection to what we're about to ask. It is a great part of prayer to hallow God's name, to confess His holiness. In the second place, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." When we pray, we are asking for what we know is already happening. God does receive glory and honor and power, and yet He teaches us to pray that He would receive it. The theme of the book of Revelation is that Christ is already reigning, and that everything is happening under His sovereign rule. Verse 9 tells us that they are giving glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne. They are not merely praying that He would be on the throne. They are praising in prayer Him who already sits there. In all of our prayers, the ultimate aim is His glory, His honor, His power. Prayer always reminds us that we are but subjects. It belongs to the subjects to pray and to the sovereign to be prayed to. Jesus is that sovereign. He is the glorious King who sits on the throne. He has done so much for His people. In fact, in the next chapter, they will confess in chapter 5, verse 10, that He has made them kings and priests unto God. But what are these kings whom He has made them to be unto God doing with their crowns? In verse 10, they are casting down those crowns before Him because they are interested ultimately in His royal crown. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." When we pray, we are praying to the King on the throne, asking that He would receive and confessing that He is worthy to receive His crown rights. And He has ordained that our praying would be a means by which He receives that which is His due. Finally then, "For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Since it is by His will that all things were created, then it is for the fulfilling of His will that all things continue to exist. Since it is by His will that you were created, the purpose for which you continue to exist is to fulfill His will. This is how the Apostle Paul says it at the end of Romans 11. "All things are from Him and through Him and to Him. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." Indeed, just as our praying shows us to be the subject and His receiving prayer shows Him to be the sovereign, so also our praying shows the submission of our will to His as our sovereign. Whenever we pray, we are implying that however He answers is right. He is free to answer as He will. "Thy will be done" are not only appropriate words to use in prayer. All praying in its essence is to say, "Thy will be done." It's interesting, we get so accustomed to saying the Lord's Prayer. Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11 shows us that as the priorities of the prayer that Jesus taught established all of the priorities for all of our praying. When we pray in the way that Jesus taught us, we are starting to pray more like they do in glory. They already pray this way. Maybe not exactly, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," but, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So when we come on the Lord's Day to the time of the long prayer in the service, we will hear this passage reminding us that we're to pray as Jesus taught us. And if we pray as he taught us, we'll be praying even as they do in glory.